This recovery account is a direct lesson for endurance athletes. Severe injury does not erase the ability to rebuild. The core message is that recovery was possible because of intensive medical care, structured rehabilitation, disciplined daily effort, and effective pain and sleep management. The author spent several weeks in Memorial Hermann's acute care center, then moved to Houston Transitional Care, a skilled nursing facility. That setting was necessary because the author still required a feeding tube, specialized medications, wound care, and help with nearly every daily activity. In acute care, the author needed total assistance, including diapers and tube feeding. The first goal was not performance or distance. It was rebuilding basic strength while still confined to a mattress. By the second week, progress allowed the author to use a bedpan and urinal instead of diapers. That may sound small, but in a serious injury, that is progress. Recovery was physically difficult. Breathing and swallowing were major challenges. The author needed frequent suctioning to clear the airway, and the experience was overwhelming, feeling like drowning. Neck surgery and a previous breathing tube made swallowing extremely difficult. The mouth was wired shut except for a small gap, and wire cutters were kept nearby for emergencies. Double vision and fear of vomiting caused ongoing nausea, which was managed with medication for anxiety and stomach upset. During the trauma ICU stay, the author was asked to volunteer for an experimental procedure. The purpose was to track the recovery process for a year to potentially help veterans and soldiers with similar limb injuries. The author agreed, hoping the personal recovery could contribute to broader medical knowledge. At the skilled nursing facility, the author worked with a rehabilitation team: physical therapists for the leg, occupational therapists for the left arm, and speech therapists for swallowing. The transition was stressful because the author no longer had the suction tool that had become a psychological safety net. To manage the fear of vomiting while the jaw was wired shut, the author created a contingency plan: press the call button, roll out of bed, crawl toward the hallway, and hold the breath for up to 2 minutes until someone could cut the wires. That plan helped reduce anxiety and allowed the author to focus on rehabilitation. Progress was slow but steady. On the first day of active rehab, the author was shocked by how weak they were, with even sitting in a wheelchair for 30 minutes being exhausting. Despite that, daily effort led to visible improvement. The left arm, which initially could not be lifted past the shoulder, regained full range of motion in about 2 weeks. The author eventually became strong enough to stand and walk with a cane. Speech therapy was also essential. The author relearned how to swallow safely, starting with tiny spoonfuls of apple juice and moving to gel. After the jaw was unwired, the author advanced to pureed food and used popsicle sticks to stretch the jaw open again. Recovery in that area progressed from barely fitting a pinky finger into the mouth to being able to eat a burger without difficulty. A key factor in successful recovery was medication timing. Proper pain management improved sleep, which in turn made therapy sessions more productive. As pain moved between the skull, leg, and arm, the author gradually transitioned to weaker medications. Eventually, the author could wheel themselves down the halls using one good arm and one good leg. 2 months after the accident, the author was discharged and returned to work. The account emphasizes that recovery was not a single breakthrough, but a series of small, consistent victories. The most important takeaways are the value of professional medical support, the importance of pain and sleep management, the role of mental preparation and contingency planning, and the ability to use personal recovery to contribute to research that may help others. The next installment is expected to cover returning to work and the beginning of bone pain.